Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together just a hymn in our wee hymn sheet. It's a great hymn of praise and of testimony. The hymn writer says, "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise Him. And for His grace so rich and free, I never will cease to praise Him." We'll just keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please, and singing it heartily unto the Lord. Just unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight, O God, for Thy goodness and mercy and grace toward us that finds us here in Thy house to praise Thee and to worship Thee. And now the hymn writer could say, "I never will cease to praise Him." And O God, we realize, O God, tonight that we have much to praise Thee for. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, tonight, O God, for Thy so great salvation. We praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, for Thy saving grace and Thy keeping power. Father, we thank Thee for all Thy tender mercies, O God, toward us. We thank Thee, Lord, that truly we can say with the psalmist that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, we realize, O God, tonight in praising Thee here on earth, we are but preparing for that praise forever and ever in heaven's glory itself. We rejoice, O God, tonight in Christ our Redeemer. We thank Thee, O God, that He died for us upon the cross. We thank Thee that the price was paid in full when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." We thank thee, O God, for his precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And we thank thee tonight, O God, that the blood of Christ has lost none of its ancient power. We thank thee, O God, that thy word declares that we are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that thou hast promised that when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we're saved from the wrath to come because of the blood of Christ, because of the shed blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, O God, tonight that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, that that condemnation that was against us because of our sin has been taken away because Christ became our substitute and became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, we thank thee for grace sufficient for every need. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for thy presence with us today and our going out and in our coming in. We thank thee, Father, for every good and every perfect gift. We praise thee, O God, tonight for health and strength to come to the house of God, for freedom and liberty to gather with the people of God around the Word of God. And Father, we pray this night that thou would just bless our coming together in a very special and signal manner, O God, we pray. We think of that promise of Christ when he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst." And Father, we pray this night that thou will draw very near to our hearts, that thou, Lord, will speak to us from thy word, that thou, Lord, will commune with us, Lord, in the quiet place in prayer. Lord, you have said, "Be still and know that I am God." And may we be very conscious, Lord, of the presence and the nearness and the speaking voice of God to our hearts this night. And Lord, may we go away revived and refreshed and quickened, and saying, "Lord, it was good for us to be here, for here we met with thee, our God and our Savior." We thank thee for all who have been able to come this night. We pray that thou would bless every head bowed before thee. Bless every family represented, O God. Do unite our family circles in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who are sick and ill at this time, Lord, touch them. O Lord, draw near to them and minister to them, and lay on thy healing hand, O God, we pray. Remember others that mourn and grieve, comfort their hearts, we pray. And Lord, bless all our households and family circles, and do unite them all in the Savior, O God, we pray. Do remember, Lord, those listening in online as well. We thank thee for those that do listen in week by week. And Lord, whoever they are tonight, wherever they might be, we pray that thou will draw near to them, that thou, Lord, will bless them, and that thou, Lord, will encourage them through thy word if they're thine. And if they're not saved, speak to them. And Lord, save them by the power of God, we ask. We thank thee for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna, for every boy and girl that has heard your word over this past term, we pray. And Father, bless thy word to their hearts and save them early in life, these children. And bless those who have trusted thee. Lead them on with God. And bless the homes and the families, Lord, from which they come from, we pray. We pray for our land tonight, our nation, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time, O Lord. Bless every faithful servant of God, all who are faithful, O God, to the blood of Christ and to the word of God. We pray that thou wilt bless them and use them, and may there be those signs following the preaching of the word of God. Do remember thy servant tonight who has come to bring your word and to bring the report. We thank thee for him. We thank thee for thy hand of blessing upon his ministry. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless him afresh tonight, encourage him in his soul, we pray. And truly may he be the Lord's messenger, and in the Lord's message, we pray, as he tells of thy work and brings thy report. Bless him and his wife and their son Andrew at this time. Meet their every need and encourage them and bless them in the Lord. Remember Olive Toucher and strengthen her. Be unto her all that she would need and require, we pray, and be their helper and be their strength, we ask of thee. Remember the ongoing open-air ministry as our brother is engaged in with our brother Noel as well. Lord, bless them and use them in this work, we pray. And as thy word is sounded forth in the open air, Lord, may precious souls be saved. Remember the south of Ireland. Lord, open up that door again and enable our brother even there in the not-too-distant future to take that work up again, we pray. Abide with us now, we ask of thee. Do our hearts much good tonight, we pray, and glorify the Savior in all that will be said and done. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I want to welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see you all who've gathered. It's an inclement night and you'd be tempted to sit in. But it's good to see all who have gathered this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you tonight around the Word of God and the throne of grace and prayer. Remember, please, the meetings over the weekend, pray for them. Friday night, the children's meeting here at 6:30. And then the youth fellowship, we're going over to Castle Archdale on Friday evening for the night of fellowship. Do make that known to young people, encourage as many as possible to gather. Pray it'll be a good night of fellowship. And then the services here in the Lord's Day, remember it's Children's Day. Be much in prayer for the meetings. Again, remember the wee invite cards. We encourage you to take those and give them out. If we all could just invite one or bring one extra into the house of God, pray about it and pray the Lord will guide you to the right person and enable you to invite them. And if they need a lift, bring them along to the house of God and encourage them in the ways of God. Sunday morning, 12 noon, our brother Noel Shields will be along to speak, and then in the afternoon at 3:30 as well, he'll be bringing God's Word, and the boys and girls will be taking part morning and afternoon, and also their prize giving as well. So we'll be much in prayer for them, that they would know just the help and the blessing of the Lord. That's really all by way of announcements. We'd just say to the members of committee, if we could just meet with you for about 5 or 10 minutes after the meeting tonight, that will be appreciated just for a very brief committee matter. So I'd ask the brethren of committee just to remember that, please. And we give a very special welcome tonight to our good brother in Christ, our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, very well known here to the congregation. Needs no introduction, I'm sure, but we welcome him in the Lord's great name. And we assure him and his wife Olive and family offer prayers at this time that the Lord will bless them. But he's come tonight to do a deputation meeting last year. I think right in saying he preached in an empty church. We were just emerging or coming near to emerging from lockdown, but we're glad tonight that the church is open and there's people here. And we pray the Lord will bless you tonight as you bring God's word and bring the report of your evangelistic labors. Remember also the offering tonight afterward, and its entirety goes to help our brother in his work for the Lord. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. It's good to be here tonight. If I hadn't the deputation tonight, I still would be here. Only been that side of the pulpit rather than this side of the pulpit. But I do appreciate the opportunity to come along and to share with you something of the work of the Lord. I have two things to do tonight. First of all, we're going to have the reading and the preaching of the Word, and then I'll bring an update of the work, what's been happening over the last few months. Can we turn, please, to Acts chapter 16. It's a very familiar portion of God's Word, and I want to draw some lessons from it. Acts chapter 16 and verses 11 down to the verse 15. And it says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I'm going to reading at the verse 15, and we'll look to the Lord to bless his word. Let's take his face again just for a moment in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the prayer meeting in which we are gathered tonight and the goodly number that are gathered out. We thank you for the liberty that we have to meet like this, to read the word of God, to have it in our own mother tongue, and to have also the scriptures opened up and being able to expound them. And to that end, Lord, I need the help of the Spirit of God. The flesh, as ever, will profit nothing, but the promise of the Father has been given, and we claim it as our own, that we shall receive power. And after this, the Holy Ghost is come upon us. We need Spirit-filled preaching in the Church of Jesus Christ. And may we experience that tonight. Give us an ear to hear, Lord, what you're saying to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight, bearing in mind that it is a deputation meeting, on the subject of the conversion of the soul. Why do we have missionaries? Why do we have a church? Well, part of the answer is that through the preaching of God's word, the souls would be saved or converted on to Christ. And I thought it would be good to take the occasion of Lydia's conversion as a good example. The angels of God in heaven never tire of hearing of even one soul coming to know Christ, being converted. And even though every single day the Lord is adding onto the church such as should be saved, and there must be thousands of people every day right across this world from one end to the next, in doorsteps, in churches, open air meetings, whatever, bowing the head, receiving Christ as Saviour. And we know that the number of the redeemed is such a number, such a multitude that no man can number it, beyond reckoning. Yet the redemption of the soul, even of an individual, is so precious that they rejoice in heaven in the news of one soul coming to Christ. And it's captured in the invitation hymn. The words are addressed to the sinner. I normally use them before a gospel meeting and prayer unto God. But it goes like this. It says, Let the angels bear glad tidings upward to the courts of heaven. Let them sing in holy rapture o'er another soul forgiven, or o'er another soul converted. One who has turned to Christ and has come to know him. There are three parts in Lydia's conversion that we want to look at tonight. The first one that we have, of course, we must say, is Lydia's part. Lydia's part. She was the subject of her own conversion. And she did certain things, when we analyze it, as it is recorded here in Scripture, that we could say directly led to her conversion. I'm well aware that we could go very hypothetical here. And we could only muse then, if we do, on the thought, well, what if? What if she did not do these things? But she did. But we need to remember also there are no ifs in the providence of God. And what happened here did not happen by chance. And yet the other side of the coin is this. That providence does not deal with robotic machines. We're not machines, any of us. God is sovereign in all his ways. But we are responsible people. And we can see here how Lydia made certain decisions freely, and they led to her conversion. And we can say here, first of all, that she made an effort to attend to what we call the means of grace. Those things that God has given to us to encourage us to come to himself. The first thing that we notice as we look at the passage is her observance of the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day, of course, here in this, in Acts 16, is not our Sunday. That's a Christian Sabbath. It's not referring to that. We are referring here, or Luke is referring here, to the old Jewish Sabbath. So we're thinking now of a Saturday rather than a Sunday. And here is a woman who we read of her, a little of her background, that she ran a very lucrative business, because it says of her she was a seller of purple. And purple was not the ordinary man's clothing. You remember the rich man in Luke 16, it says that he was clothed in purple and he fared sumptuously every day. And here's a woman who was a seller of purple. And I'm putting to you there would have been a big markup price on it. And she was not only a seller of purple, but she sold this purple in the city of Philippi. And Philippi is described here as being the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. So she was one of the high street shops. And it was a very exclusive shop. And it might well have been that on that Jewish Sabbath, that Saturday, it might have been one of her busiest days had she kept her shop open. But she was a woman who closed her shop. And whatever money she was going to make and could have made, she said, no, I am going to observe the Sabbath day. And that's always a good thing, because the Bible encourages sinners to seek the Lord. That's what this woman was. She was seeking after God. She was worshipping God at this stage, but she was still seeking. She had not found him. And the scripture encourages sinners to seek the Lord. Indeed, that's what one of the great evangelical texts in Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. And the promise is given that if we seek the Lord with all our hearts, then we will find him. Now, she just didn't close the door of her business and rest, take the day of rest. She did that, but she did a little more. She attended a meeting with other people who had time for God. When you look at what we read here, particularly in verse 13, there does not seem to have been a synagogue in Philippi at this time. The Apostle Paul, when he went into a city, he tended the head for the synagogue first of all. So he made inquiries, is there a synagogue around here? And somebody would have said, no, there's not. There's not enough men by the looks of things. But we know this. There are a few Jewish women, and they meet just outside the city where it's nice and quiet. It's a very tranquil scene here. They meet by the riverside. You just follow the river along, and you'll see them there amidst the trees, and you will hear them praying unto God, because it is a place where prayer was wont to be made. So here are these women, including Lydia. They mightn't have had much compared with others, but again, they did what they could and where they could. It was a place where prayer was wont to be made. And one thing that prayer needs in order to be made is the scriptures. Now, I don't know whether they carried this big roll of scripture down with them, such as you had in the synagogues. I would tend to doubt that. But nevertheless, they would have been familiar with the Word of God, with the scriptures. But she did something else, because this was a Sunday like no other Sunday. Now, maybe in other Sundays, there were a visiting preacher came along, somebody passing through, or maybe somebody sent them down a preacher. We don't know. But here's a preacher has come into the midst. They see him drawing near. He would have had very Jewish features, perhaps. On another occasion, he went into the synagogue, and they knew right away that he was a teacher. And they might have asked him to preach, or maybe he just took the initiative and he began to speak to them. And of course, this was not just any old preacher, with all due respect to any old preachers, but on this occasion, he was an apostle, the great Apostle Paul, the man who believed the Word of God, the man who believed that the Old Testament spoke about our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:1-3 says, we're separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know, of course, we often preach that no church can save, this church cannot save, but it's always good to encourage people to come to church. Encourage them to be along on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning. To get among the people of God. To get in a place where prayer is wont to be made. And they get them under the sound of God's word. There's no merit in such attendance. We know that. But it's good to set the sails for if and when the wind is going to blow. So this was Lydia's part in her own conversion. She did these things that led directly to her coming to Christ. And then we have, secondly here, of course, we have Paul's part. And if Lydia is the subject of the conversion in the passage, then Paul is the human agent. What did Paul do? Well, I think we ought to keep a little eye on Paul. Because Paul said, you remember writing to the church at Corinth, not just to Timothy, he was a pastor, but he said to the church at Corinth, to all the saints in Corinth, he said, be ye followers. The word there, follower, is the word imitator. Be ye an imitator. Maybe just carry this word over from the Greek. It's transliterated over into imitation. But it's translated here by the word follower. Be ye followers of me, imitators of me. Do what I do, even as I also am of Christ. And what we notice here of Paul, which is very interesting, is that he was open to the leading of the Lord. He was open to the leading of the Lord. Look there in verse 7. It says, when we were come to Mysia, or when they were come to Mysia. Luke is writing, he's not present there at that moment in time. So he's still speaking as a biographer. He says, when they came to Mysia, they said to go into Bithynia. So this is where we want. Where are we going next, Paul? I think we should go to Bithynia. Let's go down there and we'll see what's going to happen down there. Maybe we'll get a synagogue down there. Maybe we'll preach the word down there. We'll get a street corner. We'll hold forth. We'll talk to people in the market and so on. But the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit of God said, no, I don't want you to go there. And Paul was obedient to that. He didn't barge in. He didn't just say, well, the door's shut, and put his shoulder to it and a big run and leap at it or anything like that. No, I think we will not go there now. The Spirit has forbidden us. And we don't want to step outside the will of God in this matter. And then it says that they passed by Mysia. They came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. It's still the day when the young men were going to dream dreams. It's still the Pentecostal day. The full canon of Scripture has not been fulfilled, has not been yet given. And God is speaking in divers manners here. And he gets a dream in the night. The great cry, come and help us from Macedonia, the European cry. And Paul says, that's why we couldn't get to Bithynia. We are to go over into Macedonia. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, there's Luke in it now, he's one of the number. Immediately we endeavoured to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering, that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Here is a man, and he was open unto the leading of the Lord. And that's what we need to pray. We need to pray that God will lead us to souls. Lead me to some soul today. Not what we pray. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. For friends of mine are lost in sin, and they cannot find their way. And having got in, he went to places where he thought he might have the hearing ear. As I said before, he always looked out the synagogue, because in the synagogue they had at least some knowledge of God. They had great knowledge of God, because unto the Jews was the oracles of God committed. So he was able to speak to them about the promised Messiah. Now, he didn't always go to the easy places either. For example, when he was in Lystia, he was left for dead, so it wasn't a very safe place to be. But he did look out to places where he was going to get a hearing. And when he met to these people, it says, he spake unto them, and we know that he preached the word of God. Because he had been separated unto this work by the Holy Spirit. Back in Acts chapter 13, we have the church there in Antioch, great spiritual church. They fasted, they prayed, and the Holy Ghost, through the agency of the church, separated onto the preaching of the gospel, made it known, Saul and Barnabas. And that's when they went forth. They were sent by a church. And Paul tells us what he preached, and he doesn't give us the text here, but he summarized his preaching. He said, first of all, we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Again, he said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Having therefore obtained help of God, he said elsewhere, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. I'm sure Paul, like the rest of us, had opinions on a whole lot of things. I'm sure he had political opinions. I believe he would have been a man who kept up to date with all that was happening in all these different countries and what was happening all over the world. He had his opinions, his little philosophies for life and so on. But they meant absolutely nothing. And he knew it. And when he stood before these women, he preached unto them Jesus. We have Lydia's part. We have Paul's part. Now we have God's part. Now we have God's part. Lydia was the subject of the conversion. Paul was the agent. God was the cause. When was Lydia converted? Well, you read there what it says, verse 14. When she attended, that is after, she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. But when did she attend? You see, we're going to dig a little deeper here. When did she attend? She may have been sitting listening respectfully, and then she attended. And it says, when the Lord opened her heart. When the Lord opened her heart. We don't read of anybody else's heart being opened now. Maybe there was. But when the Lord opened her heart, then she attended. And this is telling me something. It's telling me this, that the wicked, carnal, dead in sin, Satan, chained, darkness-loving, spiritual, blind, deaf heart of natural man, the Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 heart of man, cannot produce saving faith. It can counterfeit it, but it cannot produce it. And in the theology to which our church, as a Reformed church, conforms to, and it believes is agreeable to the Word of God, based on the Word of God, this woman's regeneration preceded her conversion. She was born of God. And the evidence of her being born of God, the Spirit moving, changing her heart, was her conversion to Jesus Christ. You see, regeneration leads to conversion. We tend to intermingle them. You know, when you were born again, you say, well, I was converted when? And you give such and such a date. We intermingle all these words. We talk about being saved, converted, born of God, coming to Jesus, and so on. But regeneration precedes it. Regeneration is supernatural. We're born from above. We're not born from within. That's what old Finney tried to foist on the American church, that a man could regenerate his own heart. And all you needed was a great speaker with great ideas and a way with words, and man could convert himself, regenerate himself. But no, Jesus said we're born from above. And being from above, then it's supernatural. And being from above and supernatural, it is therefore a sovereign work of God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will harden. And being supernatural and sovereign, then it is also sure and certain. That's what we call the effectual call of the gospel. Any call that goes out, anything that achieves that which is set out to do, is de facto, it is certain. It is sure, it is effectual. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And the cause here then was regeneration. But notice the effect. It led to conversion. And it's man himself, or in this case it was Lydia. It was Lydia who repented. It was Lydia who believed. Because God doesn't repent for us and God doesn't believe for us. But he grants us the sweet grace of repentance. He gives us the faith. And by the Spirit he enables then the sinner to come to Christ. God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's why we must preach the word. Whether they hear or forbear is in that sense immaterial. It's not a matter of sitting down and saying, well, they're not swallowing this. I need to trim the edges. I need to think of something else. I'm bringing a whole new plan. No. We preach the word of God because we're born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And it's great to be a preacher of the word. And to send it forth, again, whether the hearer or forbear, the sower just went out to sow. Remember Mr. Foster saying to me not that long ago, he said, the sower never looked behind him. And when you think about it, he just kept scattering the word, didn't he? He just kept it going out, crows and all, thorns and all, didn't worry him one iota. He just sowed the word. And in God's good time, it was the harvest. Some 30, some 60. And some 100-fold. And when Paul left Philippi that day, and there was more than just this woman converted. You had the wee lassie that was demon-possessed. She was converted. The Philippian jailer, that rough man converted. We have household baptisms here. There was a little church in Philippi to which he wrote later on. The great Philippian epistle where he told him to rejoice. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. So there's just a few words I trust will encourage you this evening. I want to thank you for having me along tonight. And it's good always to come and do deputation meetings. I enjoy going round the province when I have the opportunity. I'm thanking everybody for their practical support that keeps us on the mission field, and also for prayerful support, and particularly at this time for us in the work of God, primarily, but also as a family, and especially in relation to Olive at this time. It really is appreciated, and I want to say thank you for that. As Mr. Porter has commented, this time last year, I was standing here and the church was empty. I just preached away anyway. You have the usual virtual congregations. I just imagined the place was packed out. And just preach the way. Because you preach in the open air, they're not all standing around you anyway listening. So it wasn't that hard to adapt. But last year, of course, we're in the midst of the COVID. It had only really begun, hadn't it? Was it March or something like that? And it led to the suspension of a lot of our ministries that we have, particularly over the border. Some of those ministries are still in suspension. And hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that soon things will be getting back to normal once again. The winter work just before that was mainly in tract distribution. We covered a lot of villages and the town of Monaghan over the border southward. And we'd also been involved with our brother, Larry Power. He had come with me, and we had covered a fair bit of villages in Donegal. And again, that is all in suspension. I haven't been over the border in Christian work since the end of September. But last year, anyway, that's what we had been doing. The breaky prayer meeting, we've had to put it off. Again, not able to meet. We meet in an Orange Hall, and of course the Orange have closed their halls for the duration of all these things. It also affected us regarding some of the shows. The Free Church as a whole, and I'm part of the team there, would have gone to the Balmoral show. And there was always the main Balmoral show, 4 or 5 days, and then there was a couple of days around Christmas that was put off. The big show of all, of course, was the Ploughing Championships. It was put off for 2020. That's very disappointing. Only once had it been put off before in my time going to it, and that was due to the foot and mouth disease. Remember that broke out around somewhere around the year 2000, and they put it off. It was put off there last year, and it's been put off again. It gives you an idea into the organisation that goes into that big show, because it's massive and it's a great place to be. But they bring in people from all over the world to it anyway, and they were doing more so this year. They had planned for 4 days because they were touching on not only the Irish plan, but there was also the World Championships, and they were going to extend it out for 4 days and have it. It would have been the 90th anniversary of the Ploughing Championships. They started in 1931. Again, it is all to be cancelled. So there's not really much we can do. We also had planned to go to Galway for the horse racing, or because of the horse racing, as I always say, and I wasn't able to get down. They were running the horses all right. I mean, the bookies were always going to get their money, but the crowd wasn't going to be there. But that said, the crowds all turned up anyway. I mean, they're out for a hoolie. They're not going to worry whether they're seeing the horses or not. But Galway's a very small city, and where I would have stood, the streets would have been bunged. And I'm sure that was a super spreader event down there, and I decided it was not for me this year. Whether they'll run in the summer or not this year, coming 2021, is going to be another matter. I was furloughed during the month of April, May and June, as because the churches were closed, and I got a nice letter from our mission board telling me I was not required to do any work on their behalf. They would pay me my full wages and so on. But I have to say that I redeemed the time anyway. I don't think I had any right to sit back. Yes, legally I could have sat back and signed up for Xbox or a Brit set or whatever else. But I redeemed the time. Scripture says redeem the time, for the days are evil. So we were busy around the house. We get into the summer, the restrictions lifted somewhat. You remember how we were able to do things that we hadn't been able to do. And I was able to get back down and preach again in Dublin. I met up with the fellows in Dublin that I preach with, and I enjoyed that in the street just outside the, or over the road from the GPO. I was able to get back down to Knock again, down to Knock Shrine, and I went down there. Their novena, their 9 days of meetings around the 15th of August, they had to cancel those. They weren't able to have their novena meetings, to which thousands would come. But again, there were still people who came to Knock anyway, and I managed to get talking to quite a few people. I talked to some, I suppose you would call them Catholic fundamentalists, and they are on the very right wing of the church. They've fallen out with the Pope, they've fallen out nearly everybody but themselves. Sound a bit like the Free Presbyterians, don't they? But they're away over there. But I got on well chatting to those people. And I looked up some of their videos on YouTube, and they were very militant. And I thought to myself, well, they're not going to tolerate me here for too long. I could see them coming and maybe doing a bit of mischief. But the Lord certainly restrained them. We had our little debates and so on. Worms all over again. The data worms all over again. But it was a good witness for the Lord. And then we come into the autumn, and again the restrictions started to get tighter. And it was around that time that our brother Noel Shields, who's coming, of course, in the Lord's Day here, he contacted me. Noah was in a similar situation. He couldn't get into the halls to do the missions. And he said, do you fancy, if we can, you know, if the board are agreeable, that we'll go around all the various towns, or many of the towns, and have open-air meetings. We'll just get the good spot in the town. We'll get the speaker up, play a bit of music, preach the word. We'll give out tracts if we can. We'll bag them. We'll have gloves, masks, the whole shebang, as it were. And I said, yeah, no, I'm very happy with that thought. So we've been around quite a number of towns. We were here in Enniskillen just a couple of weeks ago. We go regularly to Omagh. We've been in Portadown, Lurgan, Armagh, Newry, Banbridge, Royal, Hillsborough now, Dromore, County Down, County Tyrone, Fintna, Irvinstown, I forget the name of the place, one of the villages there. I haven't written it down. But we've been to these places and we're going back around usually once a month. Generally well received, sometimes not so much. And with, you know, people threatened to call the police and so on. Police came to us when we were in the Moy. I stepped out of the car in the Moy, nice and quiet, lovely little village, you know, like somewhere in the south of England. And I said to Noel, I have a feeling the police will be here before this open air is over. And it wasn't going to be self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, I'm going to wind up everybody here and there'll be a riot. But just at that feeling, and lo and behold, just before getting back into the car, up came the police car. Somebody had put in a complaint. But the police were very decent about it. They just said, well, we're heading off now. We've just had a short open air. I have a feeling the policeman was a Christian. I just sort of looked at him and I thought, this man's an evangelical Christian. And so he just said, well, look, we have to come out. There's been a report. But we've been managing to preach all right. And been in Belfast. We were in Cormarket there preaching away. But then the lockdown came again on Boxing Day, or just before Boxing Day, and once again we were back indoors. I wasn't furloughed at this time because the churches had remained open, but again we were very busy. Now, there's been a little development, and this has been new to me. It's more Noel's end of things, but I've got involved with them. We've had some drive-in missions. We had a drive-in mission about 2 weeks ago. We were in Mullagh Glass, and also we've been in a drive-in mission in Market Hill, and it's been good to preach the word and see people coming in, unsaved coming, sitting in their cars, just 45 minutes maybe, preaching the word of God. And with some others planned as well. There will be one later on in the year, God willing, in Tully Vallon, and another in Money's Lane. So the word of God is going out. We're doing what we can. Remember the lady that was criticised? She broke the alabaster box. And old Judas got upset. Oh, all this waste of money and so on. Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She hath done what she could. So we're trying to do what we can. In the summer months, hopefully, as we're all getting vaccinated now and we're all hyper safe, I hope to get back to Knock again. And possibly down to Dublin again. But it's always open to the Lord's leading. And again, with all of maybe not just been so well at times, that's going to have an impact. But we'll do what we can. We'll do what we can. And in order to do that, open to the Lord's leading, we need the prayers of God's people. And you always look to your home congregation particularly to continue to pray for us, that the Lord would lead us to the Lydias. We preach indiscriminately. You don't look for Lydias, but you preach indiscriminately, and the Lord has his Lydias, his Philippian jailers, his little demon-possessed girls who brought her master much gain, and when she was converted, saved. Oh, what anger they had, because it's the Lord who's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Before I hand back to Mr. Porter again, thank you for having me along. There's some prayer cards out there. They've been on the go for a little while now. But if you haven't got one, you take it first and foremost, a prayer card, and you pray for us. If you want to support us on a covenant basis, well then, you can fill that in there and send it off to Glenda down in Kilkeel in the office, and that would be appreciated. So thank you very much.
And a very special word of thanks to our brother tonight, Colin, for coming and bringing God's word. That word's been a blessing and encouragement and challenge to our hearts, and also for the report. And we thank the Lord for the way the Lord has undertaken for our brother this year, and the doors that have opened. While some may have closed, others have opened. And we just pray the Lord will bless him and encourage you to pray for him day by day, and pray for these open airs, drive-in missions, and that even the door will open up down to Knock and down in the south again, that God would go before and bless and use our brother for the honour of the Lord. So be much in prayer for him, the family at this time as well. And remember the south of Ireland, how it needs the gospel, that God would open that land again for many to take the gospel out to the people there. We're just going to get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, to take part. Men and women, young and old alike, let us pray one with another and pray upholding each other in prayer. Brother Colin, remember him in your prayers and these needs that he set before you. Do pray for the services here over the weekend. Be much in prayer, especially for the Children's Day, that the Lord would bless and undertake for the children, and that would see a goodly number of visitors brought in, parents, neighbours and friends, under the sound of God's word. And the Lord would bless our brother Colin, or our brother Noel, as he comes to bring God's word. Remember the sick.